In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are a helpful congregation. And if I were to ask you to help me list the things across Christian denominations that we share in common, what would you select? Might be a little bit harder than you think. Our leadership structures differ. Our buildings differ. Our music and liturgical styles most definitely differ. Our approved translations of the Bible differ. As a bumper sticker once announced, "If it ain't King James, it ain't Bible." And we reply as members of the Anglican Communion, "You're welcome, but that was just our first attempt." Our practice and understanding of the Holy Eucharist, or Communion, differs, as well as the place of the saints and the Holy Mother Mary. But there are three things I've thought about that seldom cause conflict that we all have in common. One is praising God with the Alleluia. The next is the Lord's Prayer, which I've prayed in so many countries I can't even number, and the number of languages that I've heard it in. And then the beloved 23rd Psalm. This psalm is often read at funerals or homegoings, recited at the bedside of those who are hospitalized, and have often been a source of strength for those who are in trouble. And that's really interesting because we don't do a lot of shepherding anymore. According to the most recent state agricultural overview, while Indiana boasts 4.5 million hogs, 1.5 million cattle, sheep are a distant third, numbering only 80,000, including lambs. It's no wonder that many of us have never seen a sheep up close, and that the huge pork tenderloin sandwich is famous here. But sheep were very important in the Middle East, in other desert areas, and are still important today, especially in Scotland and Portugal. A family's wealth could be tied up with the number of sheep that they own, and sheep are one of the few livestock that can graze on tough grass and need less water than either cattle or goats. The Old Testament pastoral scene from the Psalms of sheep grazing on lush green grass with its high water content prepared them near a quiet stream still appeals to us. It's not a guarantee that everything will be fine and smooth. To be led to still waters implies that we're first somewhere else, somewhere where what we needed or might even be critical to our survival could not be found. It could be a desert area where our thirst is not quenched, where what we long for has not come to pass, where what we need we cannot find on our own. It could be a place where things are frantic and moving swiftly, where we need to stop, to lie down, and be restored in body, mind, and spirit. As we see warfare increasing in the Middle East and political uncertainty that continues right here, discernment is increasingly important. Our hearts may become troubled as we view the landscape ahead of us, to the extent that we are paralyzed to do the work that we need to do to ensure that the dignity of everyone is sustained, where everyone can flourish, where everyone eats and is satisfied. And to do that work sometimes requires time of comfort and restoration. Sometimes we need the direction that the staff offers, and sometimes we need the rod to prod us into doing what our highest hope is. Jesus would have been familiar with this psalm. Imagine these words that our Lord knew as he grew up as a young boy with his parents, journeying to Jerusalem for the feasts, hearing his history, the learning of God, the shepherd of Israel. As a grown man, Jesus and his hearers would have known about shepherds and sheep as part of their daily life, walking across fields, going to market, worshiping at the temple. Then Jesus expands their understanding of who he is with an I am statement. I am the good shepherd. While David says the Lord is his shepherd, Jesus emphasizes he's not only a shepherd, but a good shepherd willing to lay down his life for his sheep, that he is not detached, that he is not distant, but he knows them, and they know him because they listen to his voice. Church planter and blogger Doug Bender offers his experience as an owner of sheep and of being their shepherd. He writes, "I had my sheep for only about 2 weeks when I learned the truth of this quote of Jesus, 'My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.' Each day, multiple times a day, I would feed my sheep. I gave them hay and would top off their water. But for the first couple of weeks, my sheep never came near me. Then one day, they were at the top of a hill, chewing on some grass when I came calling. They heard me. Something inside of them had changed. They had learned from my daily feedings and watering and caring for them that I was actually their caretaker. I wasn't a stranger. And so on this day, when I called them, they ran to me. They leaped and they jumped for joy. They let out loud baas, calling me back. They ran full speed toward me, not away. They ran to me as if their lives depended upon it." That picture of them running with absolute and genuine joy is forever stamped on my mind. When Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice," this is the picture he had in mind. They hear their shepherd's voice. They've spent time with their shepherd. They know the shepherd watches out for them. And so they come full of joy and anticipation, trusting the heart of their shepherd to care for them. And I know now that I can run to Jesus too. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, we too can run to the Jesus who cares for us and strengthens us to do his will, to receive him in word and sacrament, to be filled with the love he lavishly pours out on us so that we could lavishly drench the world with his love. As 1 John 3:18 says, "Let us love, not in word or in speech, but in truth and in action. We may not be called to lay down our lives for each other. Those moments are quite rare, and life is seldom composed of dramatic moments. But we are called to live our lives filled with love for each other in daily ways that reflect the nature of our good shepherd. Where can I speak a kind word? Where can we offer hope? Where can we offer a smile or assistance? Where can we make a difference with our talents to benefit others, like the group working to obtain grants for the bathroom and for those who have already donated anonymously because we care for each other, or those faithfully setting up for services, or providing dinners for our neighbors at the Day Spring Center, or the ones who drive their car a little bit out of their way to make sure they can pick up someone else to worship together as the community that we are. Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, laid down his life to pick it up again. He is the perfect example for all of us to follow. We are a community, and as one person wrote doing stewardship, we are a deeply spiritual home with a practical ministry of social justice, with listening ears and a humble heart. Let us follow the example of our good shepherd. Let us joyfully run to him to receive the strength we need to do everything that God has called us to do. Amen.